Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been there a couple of Sundays already, and I'm asking the Lord to help us as we worship Him today from His Word, thinking about the newness, the glories of the transforming grace that God has saved us with. I appreciate Brother Jordan's comment so much about the relative relationship between our flesh and the Spirit of God, the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. But I want us to be reminded as we embrace this new year of the need we have to remember our newness. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing to the church in Ephesus, and I trust to us. Again, the book of Ephesians is a great doctrinal book. The first three chapters dealing with God's plan of salvation, God's electing grace, predestinating, His plan is full. And one of the key points I want you to keep in mind as we talk about the subject today is from the 11th verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, where God says He works everything after the counsel of His will. Now, that's just not things we know or understand. It's everything. And you already know we're going to talk about the devil today. You don't hear much about the devil, do you? That's what the devil likes. You probably haven't heard a message about the devil probably about as often as we have a 5 or 6 inch snow in South Georgia. But what I've got to try to say today, you've heard it said, and I really mean it. I'm as serious as a heart attack about how the devil is willing and how the devil is able, apart from God's control of him, to destroy. I want you to remember three things about the devil before we get into this. Number one, he hates God and us. Number two, he tries to make sin look good. He knows what he's doing. He's pretty good at it. And number three, he uses our flesh, our fallenness. You see, we're all fallen. And even if there wasn't a devil, there would still be murder and adultery and lying and cheating and stealing without even the devil around. Why? Because that's the fallenness of our flesh. But what the devil does, he makes a bad situation worse. That's the third thing to know about that. He takes our fallen flesh and he capitalizes on it. And that's what the Apostle Paul says today. You watch him. You watch him when we think about how we already are. And he knows it. He knows our weakness. He will play on that. So he works, God does, everything after the counselor's will, which means God has a purpose in the devil. Believe it or not, else there wouldn't be a devil. The devil has as much control as God will allow him to have. Okay? Now, God uses the devil. We won't see that in Scripture. Oh, yes, he does. Demonic powers are real. And see the battle is between God and the devil. What we're in the middle of the crossfire. And God hates, the devil hates God's people. Israel, the chosen nation, hates them. The anti-Semitism that this country has displayed in some of the leftist wings that we've saw, that's nothing but demonic. That's all it is. The devil and his demons have always hated Israel because they're God's people, chosen nation. And the devil hates you and me. But you wouldn't know it. I mean, because he has a message that is so soothing. And so it just, well, he's an angel of light, the Bible says. Well, let me go ahead and read our text. I talked about the new man. Put on the new man. And you got to do it every day. It's not a one-time deal. Let's look at verse 17. I'm going to read these verses again. I told you there are seven places that God has given us through his word here, through the Apostle Paul, of the newness. And it's being wary. It's how to wear our new dress in Christ. This I say, therefore, and it testifies the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. One thing I want to remind you before we go into this a little deeper, the devil, his big play is in the mind. Ephesians 6 tells us that what we're fighting against is principalities, powers. Demons in the New Testament calls familiar spirits. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, again that's unbridled lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In other words, if you've been saved by God's grace, and if you have, you know Jesus. And you know that sin is wrong. And now what are you going to do with that? How are you going to live the life that God has given you to live, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man? This is how to do it, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That's our old flesh. We still got it. We got to deal with it. We got to put it off. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Christianity is a thinking religion. But it's also reality. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, tell the truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. It's all right to be angry if you're angry about the right things. But don't be angry about the wrong things. And if you are, deal with it before the sun goes down. Don't take it around with you. Because if you do, it's going to let the devil get in a position in your life to use that anger. And you're going to end up doing some things you can't take back. Now, here's the thing that is important as we deal with this practically. You and I can control the decisions we make. By God's grace. What we can't control is the consequences. And that's what the devil knows about. See, the consequences. Sin has consequences. In verse 27, this is our text, neither give place to the devil. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about the devil. If he says don't give place to him, that means he's here. He's real. And that's what I want to say to you. All right. Now, I want you to understand this with me. When you think about the devil already knows he can't destroy the seed of the woman. That's what he wanted to do. He can't. Why? Jesus has already come. He tried to do it. The Old Testament is full and part of how he tried to destroy the seed, the lineage of the Old Testament. Why? Well, he comes in, you know, Cain and Abel, the first family. What did he do? He gets Cain, and it's about religion, and Cain kills Abel. Well, why did he do that? But because of the demonic feeling of hatred, and what Cain was mad about was God not accepting his offering. But he killed him. And God cursed Cain, and Cain went on to the land of Nod and formed a people that have formed the basis of evil in our world. And what Satan didn't know was that Abel had died, but Seth was coming. And out of Seth would come Noah and Abraham and the Davidic line of Christ, of the seed of the woman that he wanted to destroy. See, God was always ahead of this, but God allowed it. And the first thing I want to say about the devil is this. Don't give devil the place, but here's how we need to deal with it. And that's I titled my sermon, Dealing with the Devil. Now, whether you want to or not, you got to deal with the devil. You do. And so we got to deal with him. So how do we do it? Well, we use it, we use our faith. That is the main way to deal with the devil, your faith in God, trusting God. But the things that we need to know about the devil that will help us get there. Number one is the devil is metamorphic. What I mean by that is he is not able to create like God. But what he does, he actualizes himself in the body of another. Namely the serpent first. You remember that in the Garden of Eden. The devil actualized himself in the body of a snake, which at that time was the most beautiful, according to Scripture, of God's creatures. And the devil still does that. He's metamorphic. See, he's not what folklore tells us. He's not some red monster looking with his pitchfork. Oh, no. You know what? We have to be mindful of even our leaders in our world today. Is that really an antichrist? Because they will have smooth words. They will have the things that charisma brings. Oh, yeah, the devil is enticing. And his one ploy is to turn or change our opinion of God away. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He didn't try to make atheists out of Adam and Eve. No, he said, you'll be like God. Occults began in the Garden of Eden. False religions. Oh no, they don't say there's not a God. They just take the true God and twist him around. And they take out the Savior. So Jesus Christ is God's remedy for the devil. We know that the victory on the cross is so precious. But first, I want to deal with the metamorphics of the devil a little more, but I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel and the 28th chapter. I wanted to say the metamorphic part of the devil before we got there, because here in Ezekiel 28 gives us the interpretation of where the devil comes from. I think it's important that we begin with that as we study that, as we study not giving place to the devil. Ezekiel 28. And you're going to find there that you see the name Tyrus. And what's happening is this is actually Lucifer, okay, the devil. See, what he does, he changes, and he comes into the form of a person or, in the Garden of Eden, as we said, a snake. But in Ezekiel 28, look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Watch. Iniquity was found in thee. We don't know where that comes from, but it's found, and God finds it. If anybody can find it, it's God. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profound out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. That's Lucifer. That's Satan. He was a created angel. He was the best God had, by the way. He was a worship leader in heaven. He was the main vein of songs and praise to God. But what happened to him? He wants more recognition. He's not satisfied with what he got. And he wants more. And so he was cast out. That's his unrighteousness. See, conceit, pride. That's why God hates it so much. Now I want you to look at Isaiah. Chapter 14 with me, just two verses there, again talking about the devil. Isaiah 14, you probably might not read these verses so much on your own. I don't either, but I wanted to deal with it. The Bible does cover every subject that needs to be covered, including the devil. Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14. Let's look at verse 12 first. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of thy congregation of the isles, sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Okay, that's the devil. So he was a created angel. God made the devil, right? That's right. Anything, God created all things. All right, why did not all the angels fall with Lucifer? 1 Timothy tells us they were elect. There were some that were elect and some that were non-elect. The devil, Lucifer, Revelation says that a third of the angels fell with him. I don't know how many that third is, but multiplied millions. Lucifer is ahead one. All the other demons are around. I believe in guardian angels. I believe also that everybody has a demon. I believe that there's a demon sign to you and me. I believe that demon knows us. He knows what we do. He doesn't have omniscience. He doesn't know what we think, but he knows our habits. He watches what we watch on TV and what we see on the internet. He knows what we like. So that demon is head to that. And we got to understand then that this demonic influence, God is involved in it as well as Satan, okay? And so and when we think about that, we have a battle. We have to understand that we can even thank God for the demonic influences of our life. The Apostle Paul did when the devil, Satan, gave him a thorn in the flesh. Paul said that came straight from the devil. And he says, I thank God for that thorn. Why? Because he saw in it the greatness of grace. He saw in it the power that only God could give. But mainly I wanted to say, when we think of the demonic influence that we all have to face, that it's here and it's real. See, Satan fell, created by God. What I want us to remember is, God had a people already saved before this happened, right? The Bible says that he saved a people. Like 1 Timothy 1:9 or 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, he saved us and called us. Not according to our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which was given us before the foundation of the world. You see, if you're saved, you were saved before the foundation of the world, before the devil fell. We were saved. See, God had a plan. The devil didn't know that John Newton would write Amazing Grace. He didn't. But what he found about this was he had a special interest in Adam and Eve. You know why? Because he knew that humans could reproduce. Angels can't. So if he could get them to succumb to his wiles, he would then be able to contaminate the entire human race. And that's what he did. You know, right now, he's still dividing the families. That's what the devil is about, corrupting society. I am so thankful that we finally have a governmental leader that will say out loud, there's only two genders, male and female. Aren't you? You know what? Because the devil and his demons has corrupted society to that much that we've all come to the point and we're wondering, not in our hearts, but in our world, what in the world is happening? But it's amazing when you come back to the common sense of God and His Word. That's what the Bible is about. But the devil is real, and God knows that. And God then allows that to go and uses him because the devil, as Martin Luther said, is God's devil. He has him on a leash, but he does use him. And that's why we have to deal with him. And that's how, you know what he does for? So he can mold our character. He does. He uses Satan, God does, to purify us. You remember Peter, one of the very apostles. Jesus says, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But he says, I prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. That's what he did. It's amazing. God's ways are not our ways, but he does use the devil. I could take you to places in about 1 Kings 22:22. You don't have to turn there. But there's amazing scripture there, how God and King Ahab actually sent an evil spirit. And it says there it's from the Lord. He used evil, God did, to give lies to the prophecy. Why? Because he was going to chasten his people for disobeying. See, God uses evil in that way. And demonic powers are that way. And you might know some people. I believe I have been around some people that were possessed to the point that the demon was controlling them in a way. I imagine Todd Hudgens and the sheriff department sees lots of that. It's amazing how that works. Now, I'm not here to try to debate about whether a demon can possess a Christian. A Christian is possessed by the Holy Spirit. But I do believe that the demon powers can corrupt us to the point. See, Satan knows that he cannot have our souls. That song we all like, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia to See If He Could Steal a Soul," is a lie. The devil can't steal a soul. The tune might be good and the fiddling and all that, but I'm going to tell you, the souls are in God's hands. 1,000 devils can't prevent one believer from believing in God. They can't, but I'll tell you what he can do. He can make us break our fellowship with God. So my next point is this. The devil will mess you up. He will mess with you. Now, I kind of wish I had a greater theological way to say that. But you know, the truth is, you and I won't have very sound theology if we don't have the right kind of demonology. Because we got to deal with the devil, okay? He will mess you up. I had, last night, me and some other folks heard one of the most faithful women I know stand up and talking about her life and her marriage. And then she said, "But the devil was on the prowl, and I ended up in a divorce." That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to divide your family. You watch him. That's what he's about. He can't steal your soul, but he can steal the joy and your usefulness. He will corrupt you. He will mess you up. That's what I got to tell you. I told you I'm serious as a heart attack. The devil is out to mess it up. He will mess a church up. He will mess a government up. He will mess your life up. And so the only way that mess can be cleaned up is Christ. You see, the devil made those decisions. He can't back up. Do you know, I understand this. I haven't had an experience with it, but I'm going to go by what I hear people say, biologists and people that study reptiles. A snake is the only animal that can't go backwards. How about that? Did you know what? That's what the devil does. He can't go backwards. But because God has saved us before the devil come on scene, has provided for us a way to make up the mess that the devil created, namely through the cross of Christ, you see, the blood of Jesus. Look at Zechariah just for a second. I think it's, if I can find it, I might can find it here. Zechariah is almost at the end of the Old Testament, isn't it? Let's see. I just wanted to make us aware of something here that it's in the third chapter of Zechariah. Listen to these few verses. It says there, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" See, Satan is there. God is there. And Joshua, which could be you and me. I mean, the redeemed. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments before him. And to him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Now that is grace. See, the first gospel was Genesis, where God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. But still, I wanted to see that the devil is here, and that we need to be aware of him. And I don't know where my time went, but it's gone. And so I'm going to continue this tonight. But I do want you to know this before you go from Ephesians. We're already there, but you look at this with me, because the main way to deal with the devil, I won't let you get out of this without knowing this. I don't care if you miss your lunch, because you got to deal with the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, again, a chapter that deals with grace and also the practicality of living in this life that we're living, says this. Look at the chapter 6, and you probably know where I'm going. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against, notice, the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now look at this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or of the devil. The mind. There are people, you know, psychedelic drugs. You get on some of that stuff, you can speak good things. I know some people that can send out devotionals, and they're high on meth all the time. I mean, it's real, okay? Relativism, that's demonic. What it means is, what's right for you and true for you might not be for me. That's how our culture of our country's been going. You know, you just do what you do and I do what I do. Nobody's really wrong. All right. Hedonism, happiness, pleasure. I mean, that is the seed of most sins we get involved in. You know, it's about feelings. That's what the devil said. I'm going to try to deal with tonight of more how the devil pinpointed some of the encounters that he had with God's people, namely how Christ dealt with him in the wilderness. But again, I say, know this. He hates God, the devil does, and he hates you. He won't tell you that, but he does. He wants to make sin look good. It's kind of like this. I remember growing up on the farm. My daddy made wild hog traps. And I remember he would put corn out. He didn't even set the trap, just put corn down there. And so he'd let that go for 2 or 3 weeks, and hogs start eating the corn. And then he opened the trap door, and he put some corn in the trap. And the hogs, see, my point is this. The devil will give you what you want. Listen to me. But he'll make sure you get what he wants. And I know it's a simple illustration, but those hogs, they were getting just what they wanted. I mean, they said, man, this trap, what about it? We were eating the corn a while ago, and that trap wasn't there. Didn't do any harm. All that corn in that trap. So one hog goes in there. See, hogs never look up. All he wanted is what he wanted. He goes in there, and the other hogs say, well, look, there's one in there. I'm going to go in there, too. The devil's, one of his biggest lies is everybody's doing it. Another lie that the devil likes to manifest is just a little bit won't hurt. Them hogs get in that trap door closes. I've been there. They start squealing, ranting and raving, but I tell you what, that's just what my daddy wanted. He wanted him in a trap. And the devil wants you in a trap. And he'll give you what you want to get you there. You watch him. May the Lord bless us to love the Lord Jesus, to have faith in God, and don't listen to the devil. Now, the devil likes to talk a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if so many times we think we hear the voice of God, it's actually the devil. That's how smooth-tongued that man is. We got to watch him. He will slither us under something that makes us feel good. And we think good, but we have God's word, and you stay with it. It doesn't change. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Brother Andy, go ahead and let's get a hymn and try to get out of here as quick as we can.